two pieces of paper again. When I saw we had visitors, I thought, wow, this is interesting. They've come into an interesting service today. But I think we've got to be honest, haven't we? And it may not be perhaps as polished today as, is it ever polished? But anyway, we have to face up to where we're at. And so I want to preach today about the Exodus in the Promised Land that we looked at last week, and how God led them out of Egypt after 430 years captivity. And then bearing in mind the news from Jubilee, I want to apply their situation to that of the Israelites there in Exodus, chapters 13 and 14, and also to Isaiah 40, which I was led to as we talked and prayed on Wednesday night. I believe that Exodus 40 has a lot to say, and I want this to be a realistic sermon, but a sermon of encouragement, that our God has not changed. And the first thing is that God makes and leads a way. That's a great song by Don Mullen. That wasn't him singing, by the way, just in case you were confused. We thought last week about the fact that when they started that journey, they went on some kind of circuitous route. They didn't go the direct route. The fastest route to the Promised Land was that way, but God was leading them that way. And we found out that that was because God was worried that they were going to see the Egyptians coming after them and panic and get in a real flap. So God showed them a different way to go. It says there in Exodus 13, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the Promised Land. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. And if you remember, God led them. God started the journey by leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God leads the way. And they carried these bones. It seemed a strange little bit in there in verse 19 of Exodus 13. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. Joseph was saying, yeah, we're in captivity, but God's going to change things. And when he does, I want you to move my bones. I don't want them to remain in some enemy a place. I want them to be taken across into the Promised Land. As Ruth said earlier, when we started in August 2020, right up until now, we have had our journey as a church based upon a set of hopes, which were that we would grow numerically and spiritually, and that we would impact Mask, the people of Mask, in many ways the apathetic people of Mask, who think they've got it all sussed out, that we'd share with them Jesus by our actions and our words. That has not changed. That is what we stand by. But we have to recognise that we've had some knockbacks. And I've listed some of those, and I'm really going to depress you now. We did a lot of advertising. You remember the cards that we sent out to everybody in Mask, okay, at a considerable cost to the church. And really, we've had zero response to those advertising cards. Yes, we've probably raised our profile, but we haven't seen people come in. We started a place of welcome, and again we made sure that the advertising was good. We were well prepared there in the church hall. on Wednesdays and Fridays to meet with people who were lonely and who needed perhaps some food or just some company. And again, we didn't see any numbers. And in the end, we had to say after, I think it was 4 months, this is obviously not working. We need to pull back. We need to think again. We've seen families coming who were key to us and then them leaving. The Smiths with their two girls, Rachel and the two girls, and the Dobson family, all leaving for good reason, but it hurts. I don't know if it hurts you, but it hurts me when I lose somebody, when somebody moves on for whatever reason. We've had others, people coming and not staying. We've seen Helena move into a care home. We've seen the death of Janet Close, somebody who was key in the start-up of the church. We've seen our lunchbox numbers very low, although we've been challenged as leaders that we should still carry on for those 10 children, and we plan to do that. And then we've had the news, what seemed to be going the right way, that all the doors seemed to be open regarding Jubilee, and suddenly, bang, the door seems to have closed. Now, don't hear that we're not going to have anything to do with Jubilee. I've just said to them, I think that it would be great if they could be a preacher for us, maybe with one of their elders to come along and preach sometime in September. But there's not going to be that close link. Those are knockbacks. They hurt. We begin to wonder what we're about. Have we got it all wrong? Are we not listening to God? And then in that chapter 14 of Exodus, we see God calling a halt. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp at one place and camp opposite another place. I'm not as brave as Enid. I'm not reading the words. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. I said last week, stop. We've only just started. What on earth are we doing stopping in this place? We're asking for trouble. We're at the mercy of the Egyptians if they decide to come after us. God said, I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord, neither your thoughts my thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. We're in a bit of a wilderness. We're in a bit of a desert. And the lights seem to be on red and amber. And for those of you that don't know your highway code, that's when you're getting ready to go. All right? Some people in the Middlesbrough and around this area seem to think that when it's on red, that's when you go. We don't. No. Well, we're on red and amber. Now, good drivers, and there are some, and I'm not classifying myself one way or the other, are ready to go. They've got that handbrake, perhaps they've got the handbrake left, or I've got an automatic, so I'm just holding on the brake. And then my foot moves across onto the accelerator immediately, and not until the green light shows. Or you can be like a number of our beloved motorists who think about actually engaging gear when the green comes and letting in the clutch and eventually moving off. Now, which are we? Are we those that are actually ponderous and not ready to go, or are we the people that are ready when God leads us forward? God calls a halt, and I believe we're in that time. I wish we weren't. But on the other hand, I don't wish us to go down the wrong path. And maybe we've got to pause and think and reflect and wait for God to show us the next step. God has not finished with Mass Community Church. Of that I am sure. Yes, I might be asking to take a back seat in the future, but that doesn't mean the church is going to stop. Heaven forbid. God has a plan. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as we read from chapter 40 of Isaiah. This is from the CEV version. Our God has said, encourage my people, give them comfort. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and announce, your slavery is past, your punishment is over. I, the Lord, made you pay double for your sins. Someone is shouting, clear a path in the desert. Make a straight road for the Lord our God. Fill in the valleys, flatten every hill and mountain. Level the rough and rugged ground. Then the glory of the Lord will appear for all to see. The Lord has promised this. We just sung, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. Then listen to this. By a roadway in the wilderness he'll lead me, and rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way. That's what that reading in Isaiah 40 is all about. God making a new way. That what seems like a desert will suddenly burst forth into flame, so to speak. New buds will appear. New growth. Our mission remains. Our way forward is what needs to be revealed. We are waiting for the green light. But more than that, the Lord gives strength. Carrying on in chapter 40 of Isaiah, from verse 27. You people of Israel say, God pays no attention to us. He doesn't care if we are treated unjustly. But how can you say that? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the earth. He never gets weary or tired. His wisdom cannot be measured. The Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired, then stumble and fall. But here's for those of us that are getting on in age. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will be strong like eagles, soaring upward on wings. They will walk and run without getting tired. Another song. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. I wonder where that was written about. Isaiah 40 again. Are we striving in our own strength? Am I striving in my own strength? Do we need to rely more on God? Certainly, personally, I need to rely more on God. God calls us to be encouraged, and God promises to give us the strength. So what's the application for us? It's quite a lot of passages of scripture we've heard, both from Exodus 13 and 14 and from Isaiah chapter 14. I believe it's time for us to reflect, as we have been this afternoon, to stop and to think and to examine what it is we are doing as a church, and then to recommit ourselves. Recommit ourselves individually to God and recommit ourselves to the fellowship here. We are encouraged in many ways. There are great positives. Our carol singing in the square on two Christmases has been very well received. Our carol services have been well attended for the last 2 years. Our work in the dog house, by the way, that's the cafe attached to the dog shop, on a Wednesday afternoon seems to be bearing some fruit now. We have contributions from those in the fellowship to help us worship. We have people's commitment, wholehearted commitment to the church. We care for one another. We're reaching out. We've got those open doors in Errington School. We have the church premises that we have. We have the finance that we need. We have the refreshment fellowship that are blessing. You know, when people come and visit, it's interesting their response, particularly the preachers. Gavin was a great one for saying that is very important at the end, that time of fellowship, about refreshment. And Craig said the same from Stockton Baptist Church. He said the same when he came. He actually said, that's the church. That's the church when we're there in fellowship together. We're blessed with worship. We have biblical preaching. We're blessed with visiting speakers. And we've been blessed by Jubilee and their input and the way they've served us. Be encouraged. It's so easy to look at the downsides and to forget the upsides. God has blessed us. And God will make a new way. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Then a quote from 1 Chronicles 22 verse 13 in the New Living Translation. For you will be successful. And the person that wrote this is very careful to explain that success is in terms of serving God. You will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart. God wants to do a work amongst us. We need to be prepared, each one of us, to play our part. And for some of you, that's going to be stepping outside your comfort zone. It's going to perhaps be, you're going to be asked whether you perhaps would do something. Something you've never done before. And if God lays that on your heart, then I pray that you'll be prepared to step up to it and help share in the running of the church. We need to be ready. I've never done that before. I'm not able to do it. God says, I will give you the strength. If you're called, I will give you the strength. So we need to reflect. We need to recommend. We need to be guided. And when we're guided, we need to be obedient. So many people say, well, I know what God wants me to do, but don't do it. And I'm sure I've been guilty of that from time to time. To be guided, obedient. We need to be fearless. Number of times in our meetings recently, those words, do not be afraid, words from God have come up. Trust in God. If we trust in God, we need not fear. And we need to press forward. But only press forward when God shows us the way, when the green light is on. So let's pray. Let's study perhaps a bit more on a Wednesday evening. It would be great. It's often just the leaders that meet on a Wednesday and the leaders that just meet on a Friday for prayer. It would be great if there were more of us. If we need to change the date, we need to change the time, we need to change the location, so be it. It's not written in stone. But we need to seek God and find what his way forward is. As those Israelites stayed in that place, when they were ready, God led them forward across the Red Sea towards the Promised Land. Let's not spend 40 years in the wilderness. Whatever 40 years means, however scary that is. Let's listen to God, be open to God. Whoever you are, whatever word you're given, let's share that so that we may know God's leading in the future. And that we may be a blessing to one another and also to the people of Mars, that we may have that impact that we've prayed for so long. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this is not our church, it's your church. It's the church that Jesus started. It's the church that the Holy Spirit was given to. We thank you that you want to encourage us today, in spite of the knockbacks, you want to encourage us and say, get back up on your feet, go again in the direction that I'm going to show you. So we pray, Lord, that we will be open to your guiding, that you will show us the way forward, and that we will be obedient as a people to follow your guiding, so that praise and glory may come to you, and so that many may find Jesus as Saviour, Lord and friend. And this we pray in his name. Amen.